About a, no, it's sometime in February. I decided I was going to look at the Psalms. I was going to look at one each day. And as I read them through, prayerfully, I hope, and I would look through a couple of expository books that I've got at home, the Lord was able to plant in me what I hoped were blessings in my life. Because when we look at the book of Psalms as a whole, we won't study it all tonight, we can see in those 150 chapters, there are lots of examples of real life living and the way that we should live our lives in the sight of God and in the sight of others around us. Some of the Psalms are really clearly written from the pits of despair. And in some of the Psalms, that's where the psalmist stays. And he doesn't seem to get any relief from it all. But in other Psalms, he's up here. Time and time again. I'm just saying him, it may have been. Okay. But the psalmist is expressing loads of different emotions. And then there were so many examples of the way in which an individual could be blessed that I was thinking this week. I mean, I only had a few days' notice that I was going to be speaking today, and we're going to end up in Psalm 146. You see, we're right at the end, but since I wrote these notes, I've actually finished 150. And then I was trying to help our daughter Ruth in a document that she had. She had to produce it for a college diploma. And it's 4,000 words on a subject that I know nothing about. But we were looking at it together as a family after she'd finished it. And I was trying to explain to her what a dynamic table of contents is. Now, I don't know how many of you have worked in an office. I don't know how many of you have actually worked on Microsoft Word. Not many. Okay, well, when you're on the computer, as you're writing a document, this is 6 pages long, what you could do is you can put up there a table of documents at the beginning of the document, and as long as you're on the computer, you can actually click on any one of these lines, and it will automatically take you through to that appropriate place on the page as you're constructing the document or as you're trying to read the document. And I thought that's a valuable tool, because in the table of contents, you can say what it's all about, this paper that Luke is doing, and it will say, I need to go straight to that part. No need messing around with the rest of it. Go straight to that one. And as I was doing that, for Ruth, we eventually got this table of contents into the paper. It looks good. I don't normally do that on my preaching notes, but I needed an example that I could follow to actually see that this was going to work properly for her. And I was thinking, that is great when you know what you need and you know where you can go to find it. And that's exactly what the Bible. If we know the Bible, if we have not just read it casually, but we've studied it, we've memorized part of it. I explained a couple of weeks ago to you, I'm not very good at memorizing scripture. But I know the things that are in there. Sometimes it just takes me a little longer to find it. But the concept of what I'm trying to get over to you is, if we know that we can be blessed by God in a particular occasion, then we can find the appropriate verses that there are in scripture. And once we lay our hands on that and actually say, well, it's in God's word. You know, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And so we should be able to leave things like that. So that's just an introduction. Let's look at Psalm 146. So I'm going to read it from the New King James Version. And it says this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Oh, we've sung that, haven't we? That is a chorus. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man, in whom there is no breath. His spirit departs. He returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked, he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, he will reign to all generations. Praise the Lord, the Psalms. Now, when you get to the end of the book of Psalms, in 145, right the way through to 150, they all praise Psalms. They're all finding good reason to praise God. And that's what I want to leave with you tonight. You know, have you got good reason to praise God? Now, I spoke on Psalm 145. I'm sure you can all remember it in March of 2016. You can't. Well, I could have started talking about Psalm 145 because that's a great psalm as well. But if you've been reading the Daily Light, all those notes on Psalm 145 were all of last week. And I'm thinking, anybody listening to me is going to say, oh, just pick it up from Daily Light. It was on Psalm 145 last week. But no, what the Lord laid on my heart was this one, Psalm 146. And it is so important to me that we look at this psalm and we say, as we should do whenever we read Scripture, what does it mean for me? So as I was constructing this document, that was the next paragraph. That was the title of it. What it means to me. And this is how you should look at Scripture every day. I trust that everybody reads Scripture every day and dwells upon Scripture every day, because this is our food. Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And we believe this to be the words of God. So, what does this passage mean to me? What we've got here is a psalmist who's expressing his great appreciation of God. He sees God as a wonderfully generous and compassionate God. And he won that can be trusted, always. We see portrayed a God who does not hold himself at a distance from his creation. He's interested in every aspect of the creature he has created. Now, Sue didn't know what I was going to be talking on this evening when she put together her opening little piece this morning in the family service. It was, all things were created by God. And all things were created by God to give him glory. So we have got a God who has created us, and someone that we should want to respond to from an overflowing heart of praise. Because this is the God who not only created us, but he wants to interact with us from day to day. He wants to provide all of our needs. So as we heard this morning, we heard that he created us, but in the little story that I gave to the children, he also redeemed us. He wanted us back. We had drifted away, but he wanted us back. Another reason to praise God. So we see that he continues to love us and provide for us. Now, we probably often take him for granted. I was only saying to Richard last week that we should thank God for every little thing that happens to us, for everything that he gives us, from our food to our safety. I know there are times when I'm driving a car and I narrowly miss having an accident. ultimate solvent. But I thank the Lord for his protection. And it should be a response that comes naturally from our hearts, flowing from our hearts. We should say, God, I know I'm in your care. And I thank you for this, that, and the other. So that's my general appreciation of this psalm as a whole. I can see God. I can see how good God is. And I want to acknowledge that in praising him. But let's look at the passage in greater detail. We're going to do this verse by verse. In verse 1, it says that our soul, our inner being, should praise God. Now, praise helps us take our minds off our current situation and circumstance. When we raise our eyes to heaven, we see a bigger picture. God can bless us with that bigger picture. So if we're going through some dark period at this moment, then let's look elsewhere. When Sue and I were on this sailing course a couple of weeks ago, the lady that was teaching us come from Holland, and one of the things she said was, when we are talking one-to-one, we talk horizontally. I'm looking at Shirley, and I'm talking to Shirley. So you're on this evening's tape as well. But when we're sick and we're in hospital, we're looking up. Like a doctor may come and talk to you, but you're on your back, you're looking up. And that's where we need to be at times of real distress and discomfort. Okay, Callum at the moment, we don't know what's up with Callum. We don't know his degree of his injuries or whatever. But we've got to say, we're not going to concentrate on that, the issues. We're going to say, God, look after Callum. God, put him right. Fix him where he needs fixing. So we've got to do that, because if we were only going to look at the issues ourselves, we would be overwhelmed by them. So no matter what we're having difficulties in, whether it be health or whether it be finance or whatever, whatever circumstances which we consider to be pretty bleak, when we look up and we see God and we thank him to start with, we find that our hearts are lifted away from the issues that we're facing, and we're able to say in faith, I can trust you. I don't expect him to do that. One of the verses we can be quoting in the mission to Wales when we meet people on the street is Jeremiah chapter 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So if we're looking at him, we can expect him to say, it's okay. I've got a plan for you. There is a future. You can have hope in that future that I have planned for you. So surely that we can see, if we can see that God's in control of our circumstances, there must be a greater sense of security and safety in that knowledge. Very often when we lose sight of him, just like Peter when he was walking on the water, when we lose sight of him, take our eyes off him, that's when we get into a position of desperation. So if we keep our eyes on him, then really he will be able to take us through any of the difficulties we're likely to encounter. In Psalm 144, verses 1 and 2, it says this: Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He's my loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and the one in whom I take refuge. And do we believe that? Do we accept that, first of all? Have we said, yes, in my life, that's how I'm going to look at God. That's going to be the character of God that I'm going to hold up in front of me whenever I'm in difficulty, and I'm going to say, yeah, in the words of Psalm 144, God, I consider you to be my rock and my fortress. Because you show me, dear God, loving kindness, from day to day. So if we accept these words at their face value, we should not be shaken by circumstance. And we should be praising God from our soul, it says there in verse 1. Not the seat of our emotions. Because our emotions are very often up one minute and down the next. We do ride a bit of a roller coaster through life. When we find that there are issues that are distracting us and taking us away, and that will take us down. But there are other times when we feel overwhelmed with joy as we find that things are going right for us. So if we were only going to be praising God in those circumstances, we would be wrong. Because our emotions are fickle. But our soul is the place that we're meant to be responding to God. It's meant to be that God-shaped space within us. And we're saved. We've come to Him. We've got our forgiveness of our sins. We have been called into His kingdom. That soul should now be complete. God is in there. And we should be able to say that we will trust in Him. Verse 2. He stresses in verse 2 that he's going to praise God while I have my being. Now that's the consistency that we need to be displaying. Day in, day out. Now God's just the same, day in, day out. We know that his characteristics are the same, day in and day out. He's faithful and overflowing with loving kindness. In Psalm 63, verse 3, it says this. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. So the psalmist there has decided at what level he has decided he's going to view God. Your loving kindness, God, is better than life itself or anything else that I hold dear. So I will praise you, he says. And in Psalm 25, verse 6, it says, remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from of old. There's the consistency. God has been consistent. He has been loving towards us day after day from of old. Now, why should all the consistency be on God's side? You know, why can't we be more consistent in the way that we respond to Him from day to day? That's what He wants of us. If we can see His goodness has always been there, then we should be able to rely upon it and see things in a more consistent fashion. In verse 3, we're encouraged not to put our daily trust in mankind in general, or even in princes. Or, I might add, in ourselves. May I speak on behalf of my gender? All men are fallible. And they will let you down, ladies, as often as you let us down. Because we're all fallible. So for someone else to put their trust and faith in us would be foolish. But to put our trust and faith in God is a different story altogether. Because as the next verse talks about, it says that these people, these princes, these men, will one day die and pass on. They will return to the dust. And this is something that we see so often in not traditional funeral services. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes. Again, another reference to what somebody was talking about this morning. That God created man, Adam, out of the dust. And yeah, at the end of his day, that's where he goes back. Now, why should we keep faith in someone like that, that is likely to die? Well, it's going to die. When we can put our faith and trust in God, who isn't? He's eternal. He's the Alpha and Omega. He was there at the beginning. He's going to be there at the end. So we should consider that man's plans for whatever he wants to do, and he might try to include you in his plans, those plans are going to fail when the guy dies. But God's plans, on the other hand, they're going to go on for the whole of eternity. And you can be in that plan. That's where you want to be. That's where you want to see yourself. You want to see yourself as being a part of God's plan, and in that we find a greater security. Let's put our hope in Him. In verse 5, it says that you and I are blessed. What does it mean? Well, to me, I feel that God, this is Almighty God we're talking of, has my best interest at heart. He sees me. He listens to me. Has a heart full of lasting loving kindness and a gracious forgiveness. And all that is directed to me as an individual. Coincidentally, He feels the same about you. But His reason for giving me such loving attention is because, in the words of verse 5, I have chosen to seek His help in issues. And I have chosen to place my hope in Him. Wow. When we go out on the streets next week, we know from the stories we have heard of so many people who feel within themselves they have no hope at all. They're desperate. When we were out at Bethania on Friday, it was really good to hear some stories being related, which was talking about people in church, just like this, in a meeting, and someone comes through the door and sits down. And when they chat to the guy that called, he says, "Well, I've been wandering around for weeks, walking back and forth past this church, and I've wanted to know what you've got. So I've come in to find out." 5 minutes later, the guy is saved. We heard three stories just like that. Coincidentally, they all had, "I've been walking up and down in front of your church doors for weeks, and now I've come in." There are people that are desperate to find out what God has got for them. They want to put their hope in something, and they want it to be solid. And you and I, you've got that in us. Are we able to share that? Are we able to say, "Yeah, okay, I know where I stand. I stand with a hope and trust in God, and I know He won't let me down." And that's what verse 5 is all about. And in verse 6, when I read verse 6 over, I was stunned how significant that was in relation to what Sue was saying this morning. Because the one in whom I trust is only the creator and sustainer of the universe. You know? Yeah. That's the one. He holds every star in His hand. He knows them all by name. He calls them out and says, "Oh, yes, come on, this is your time. It's that season. Display yourself." And that's the God that is there at the center of my trust and my hope. Fantastic. He's only the creator and sustainer of you. And then, verses 7, 8, and 9, it says this. It shows God's compassionate heart for those who have been most abused in our society. He loves and upholds the oppressed, the hungry, the prisoner, the blind, those bowed down, the righteous, the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. Conversely, He frustrates the ways of living. But those that are in need are the ones that He has a real heart for. And you and I are His hands and feet. Okay. God's got a heart for those that are lost. Those that are finding themselves in the direst of circumstances. What to do about it? He says to the people of Sodom, do something about it. So when we read Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, it says, stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice, encourage the oppressed, defend the cause of the fatherless, plead the cause of the widow. He's saying, be motivated. He's saying, these people are important to me. And I need you. There's the well-known passage in Isaiah chapter 61 that Jesus quotes in Luke chapter 4, where it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. You know, these are, I remember preaching on this text in Uganda and in this red Bible, well-read Bible. I've entitled this particular passage, The Work of the Local Church. Because that's what it is. This is the practical arm of the church for actually putting your arm around those that need real comfort and help at this particular time. But it goes beyond that. It says there, those verses in Isaiah go on to say, the garment of praise for the Spirit of heaviness. And I think that that is a real expression of how the world should see us. It should see us as being a praiseful people. People that lift up God, and it is so evident that it is expressed from their very being. Their faces light up when they're talking about God. There's a real joy that overflows from their being. That spirit of heaviness shouldn't be with us. We shouldn't look sad, miserable, or discontented, because we are the people of God. Oh, yeah! The verse goes on. That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. When I first started the reading the Psalms, I think I started it on a Monday, and on the Wednesday I met up with Richard. So we talked about Psalm chapter 1, and that's talking about blessed is the man who's like a tree that is planted near streams, planted, not just happened to be there, planted. God has said, this is where I want you, planted, and he's made provision there, because there's the stream, there's the water that I need, and I'm in a position to bring about fruit that is necessary for others. Like I mentioned it before, when the fruit falls out of the tree, it's not for the blessing of the fruit, for the blessing of the tree, it would just stay on the ground. It's got to be taken up and used by others. But the planting of the tree is God's business. He puts us in a place, and we should look to see ways in which we can be mightily used in that location, doing the work that he wants us to do. So you are trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Why? That he may be glorified. So in all that we do, say, think, all the values that we hold are ones that point to the glorification of our God. So do we live in that knowledge? Do we say, yeah, that's it, I see myself like that, and now I'm going to be declaring every day the way that God has blessed me? Do we see ourselves as children of the living God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, sons and daughters of the King? We should. We should be lifted up with such high, I nearly said self-esteem, but it's like that, but it's recognizing that the only esteem I've got is there because God has granted that character for me. but I should live in that. My head should be raised higher. And finally, in verse 10, it says, it talks about the eternal nature of God. He is our God, and he is the same for all generations. So when we're recommending God to our children or our grandchildren, it's the same God's characteristics that have knocked us out. It's the same. For generation after generation after generation, it's the same. So the psalm ends with, praise the Lord. And that's what we should do. Once we have absorbed all of that psalm for what it means to us as individuals, and that's why that first paragraph was important. What does this passage mean to me? Okay? Once we have absorbed that and said, yeah, that is now in my being, I recognize all of that, I can see the truth of it, the only response is I need to praise the Lord. And that's how the rest of the psalms go on. Praising the Lord, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Praising the Lord in Zion, saying that, yes, the city of God is important because that's where he is going to return. He's going to come back one day to there. And you and I, as trees of righteousness, can be part of that gathering that is going to be taken home with him. But for the moment, we're living the life. Right? Now,